Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, December 5th, 2019. A lot of topics to cover tonight in the news. First of all, about the Christmas star. About this time every year, you will be bombarded by misinformation coming out of so-called astronomical experts that the Christmas star was some kind of planetary alignment or something else. Complete hogwash. And this is something bigger. It's a bigger story than just the Christmas star. And it comes down to this. Any reference to comets in the Bible is completely squelched. And that's why when the Colburn came out, when I helped it become popularized in the Western world, and in the world in general, when I came out with my book, 2002, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, it was something that totally surprised everybody in the disinformation community, and they scrambled. They got some little con men to steal the Colburn, basically, try and make it into something it's not. And so I always tell people, don't buy the Colburn on Amazon. If you do, send it back. In fact, they've got a funny policy. Amazon has a return policy, but for the Colburn, you cannot return it, which is pretty odd. But anyway, it's not a Bible. It's not the Colburn Bible, and it doesn't mean Planet X or the end of the world or any other the kitchen sink variety disinformation programs that have been flying around over the past 20 years, literally. But the Colburn very specifically talks about comets, big comets in the sky, and that were seen by the ancients. But the Christmas star, very specifically, without question, was a comet. It has all the properties of a comet. And I've talked about this many times before. It was discovered in the east, but when the wise men finally got packed and moving along, and remember, they were from three completely different countries, they had astrologers who were looking for signs in the heavens. And you might think, oh, astrology. But remember that back then, astrology was the root of modern-day astronomy. It was the observation and the measurement and the observation of the skies, of the stars, etc. So the Christmas star was a comet. And it, like I said, it had all the properties of a comet. It was discovered in the east. And by the time they got packed to move, they followed it to the west. And then they finally came to rest over the little animal hut that where Christ was born in Bethlehem. So, but it had all the properties, and it's not a planetary alignment. That's the goofiest explanation you could imagine, because a planetary alignment lasts for about a day. And it's not something unusual. We have planetary alignments going on all the time. And so it's not some unusual event that you would notice after thousands of years of waiting. The prophet said that this would be when the Messiah comes, and they talked about the signs in the heavens. And so signs in the heavens comes up over and over again, like when they asked Christ what's going to happen about when he was in the temple and the disciples asked. They were admiring the temple. This is how this whole thing started. It was actually a few weeks ago in the standard liturgy schedule of the Christian, the Sunday liturgy that they always read. But the disciples asked, hey, first of all, they started commenting about how wonderful the temple was. They thought Jesus would be really impressed. Look at all the jewels and the fine art and everything. And he goes, look, when the end days come, none of this will be here. There won't be a stone left upon a stone. And they're like, whoa, what's this? He said, when is this going to happen? And that's when Christ turns around and he says, well, there's going to be rumors of war. That's not it. There'll be people sent out with false prophets to tell you that it's coming. Don't believe them because they're false prophets. And man, was he correct. If you look at the Planet X insanity of the last 20 years, people running around, jumping up and down, I'm the only person that brought a level of sanity to that entire topic, because you had the white hat NASA people jumping up and down saying that there is no such thing, never existed. And then you got the Looney Tunes saying that every next month it was going to happen, or the end of the Mayan calendar in 2012. Every nutcase story that you could imagine got wrapped in with Planet X, and not the least of which was the Colburn. You had nutcases running around trying to pretend they wrote the Colburn. I mean, it just got nuttier and nuttier. But back to the main topic, comets are all over in the Bible. And so just to finish the comment that Christ was making to his apostles about the temple not being there someday, not a stone left upon a stone, he was talking about really major earthquakes and earth upheavals, literally. And they said, well, how do we know that it's happening? And he says, well, don't look at all the stuff that's going on earth here. When you see the signs in the heavens, that's when it's all coming down. And so literally he's referring to big comets. He's not referring to an asteroid hitting earth. He's not referring to a solar flare or a big solar flare. He's not referring to any other kind of event except a comet. Okay, so anyway, in the Bible, throughout the centuries that it's been managed and mismanaged, really, and converted, and scholars have looked at it and tried to change it, and because they didn't understand what it was saying. And by the way, just interestingly enough, this last week, the scriptures that are scheduled to be read refer back to the time of Noah, and before Noah, that the earth was highly populated. Something that if you go and look at a standard history book, first of all, they don't talk about the Noah's flood. They, as far as they're concerned, it didn't exist. But what happened? It's very clear when Christ mentions the Noah's flood, said in the time before Noah, everybody was drinking and merry and having a good time. And interestingly enough, in the movie about the Great Flood, what was it with Russell Crowe? What was the name of the movie? It was about Noah building the ark, etc., and Russell Crowe was Noah. And all the people come, and they make a note that man had trashed earth, much like is going on today. And so the Great Flood came along, and it was a worldwide event. And I've said repeatedly, I have this in my lectures, in my CD, my two CD set, 18 hours of lectures on ancient celestial disasters. I make it very clear that the Noah's flood was due to a comet. And I make the analogy that when Hale-Bopp, a recent large, not really big, but kind of small big, much bigger than your average comet. It was in the solar system for a period of over 6 years, visible to the naked eye. Most comets are visible for a day or two, maybe, if you're lucky, to the naked eye. Most comets are only visible with a telescope. They're little. But Hale-Bopp was up there for 6 years, visible to the naked eye. NASA did everything it could to just pretend it was not there. But anyway, if we had passed through the tail of Comet Hale-Bopp, and just this is a hypothetical, but it would have taken us about 40 days and 40 nights, and so we would have been caught up in this torrential rain, which was the Noah's flood. The Earth's oceans rose, estimated a couple hundred feet, and it destroyed the civilizations of the world. So there were people who survived the Great Flood, probably, well, for certain, other than Noah. But that's the story that comes down to us in the Old Testament. And like I said, totally denied in modern history books. Kids don't learn about this, one of the formative events of all of history, not taught in the ridiculous, overpriced, over-controlled educational systems of today. But 40 days and 40 nights of rain, but the population of the earth prior to that was huge. There was a massive population on planet Earth. And so, and this has been a number of times, the Egyptians told Solon, when he was the Greek, great uncle was it Plato, who went back to Egypt, and he asked them, what's going on here? And they said, well, you guys don't know anything about your history. You are just sheep herders who survived this last great milieu up in the that came from the sky. But he said every time they get their civilization up and running, there'd be one of these major catastrophes, earthwide catastrophes, that set them back to the cave ages. So at any rate, these are caused by major comets, not the same one. And we have to stop using this overworked, really horrifically bad term, Planet X. And that's, by the way, the astronomical community is so afraid of this that they demoted Pluto as a planet, which is the ninth planet, so that they could talk about the search for the ninth planet. Since they demoted Pluto, then they wouldn't be searching for Planet X or Planet 10. They would be searching for Planet 9. It makes it all politically correct, if you understand what I mean. They go to immense lengths, absolutely beyond just crazy lengths, to deny the presence of comets in history, and none the least of which is the Christmas star, where all of this began. And you'll notice that in the biblical conversations where Christ is talking about the end days and referring back to the Moses event and also the Noah event, all the people back in those days knew about these events. It was common knowledge. But now you walk down the street and ask somebody about the Noah event, as far as they're concerned, maybe they know about it, but even the churches. I have asked priests and pastors and from various denominations, and I'd ask them about, you know, because they'd be reading the scripture from Noah, and then you know how you go out of a church at the end and you're talking there, the pastor is always there to greet you as you're leaving. And I'd just throw out a question. I'd say, oh, that was an interesting scripture reading today about Noah. I said, what is the church's official opinion on Noah? He said, well, you know, it's in the Bible, but we really don't believe it. We read the scriptures. It could have various meanings. And they just kind of soft shoe it like it didn't, like some kind of fairy tale. Absolutely incredible. But there again, the Bible has been completely subverted from any reference to comets. And that's what the whole deal is about, because very simply, the world leaders, and I figured this out a long time ago, the world leaders can control the news media. You know, what do you hear on the news every evening? Oh, the stock market or the impeachment effort or peace talks in the Mideast or NATO or all of these, is there going to be a financial downturn, you know, just filled. I don't care what channel you listen to, but it's just filled with this basically rhetoric, just this constant back and forth rhetoric. And you're supposed to get all excited about it. But the main things that really should affect your life, they never mention. None of them at all. And if they did, they would be talking about the NOAA event and other things like that. It would come up sometime in the news, but it never, ever does. And there's a reason for that, because on top of all of this gloss that's thrown at you every day, the one thing that the world leaders are deathly afraid of, this is the most, if you could pick something they were most afraid of, it is that the public would wake up to the fact that their future could be just changed on a moment's notice because of a large comet coming into the solar system at a given moment. And, of course, that's why they create all these disinformation programs. The end of the Mayan calendar 2012, huge disinformation program. Crazy lady talks to aliens about Planet X, huge disinformation program. And what did they, all of those books that were published through the CIA support disinformation programs, all of them had a big orange ball on the cover. Because what did they want you to walk away with? That Planet X was some kind of big orange ball. Not a comet, not the real thing, but a big orange ball that you're supposed to look up. And I mean, the amount of effort that they put on denying, on squelching the idea that anything related to comets was just horrendous. And of course, my work comes right in the middle of all of this and says, hey, these big things are comets. And of course, NASA is just bends over backwards to talk about little icy wanderers and little snowballs, and maybe one could crash into Earth, but it would be some kind of local event or something. They just bend over backwards just to keep this any inkling of comet out of reality, out of any news. So anyway, that's my opening lesson for the day, is that comets are implicit in the Bible, in the ancient texts. What the Bible is really a series of ancient texts and writings that are compiled. And so it's a Bible is kind of like, that's a term. The Bible is a term. For example, if you look at, let's say, scientific information or mathematical tables of equations or something like that, we sometimes loosely refer to those as the Bible of mathematics or the Bible of logic or something like that. So the Bible is really a term that refers to a collection of books, and that's what we have. The Old Testament is a series of books that were written over thousands of years, but they've been changed. They've just been altered and changed to the point where they're not recognizable. Okay, so anyway, that's my opening statement for the evening. Just a quick notice, when you go to a web page now, there's a little tag up in the upper left-hand corner, and it's a little, like, it looks like a lock. And if it's closed, if the lock is closed, that implies that the site is secure. And if it's not, that means that the website owner has not purchased an SSL certificate. Secure Socket Layer is what it stands for. And now there's many varieties of this. A couple years ago, there was only one, and there was only one place to buy it from. Now they're all over the place. There's fake ones. There's people running scams, selling fake ones, giving them away for free so they can get into people's web pages and then get your credit card information. So it's like anything secure. The second it comes out, the bad guys, the hackers, the internet thieves, the CIA, the NSA, all of them have access to your computer. It is not secure at all. The problem is everybody that has a web page has to pay for this, and it turns out in many cases, actually most cases, you probably pay more for your SSL certificate than you do for your web page. The server time for your web page probably costs less than an SSL certificate. And then, for example, I have a seven letters that I use. It's the short URL that links you to my webpage. It's jmccsci.com. And that links to my regular URL, jmccannyscience.com. And the reason I have that is because I'm on the radio a lot. And so when I tell people where to get to my webpage, I give them the short URL. And that's much easier to remember. They can write it down quick, jmccsci.com. And not this big long one where if they miss a letter, they're not going to get to my webpage. So I have this little short URL. Well, I have to buy a separate SSL certificate for that. You know, so it's just goofy. It's goofy. But the problem is it does not protect you, the end user. And one of the claims is that it sets up a secure socket layer session at the beginning and allows you to log in and transfer important information, etc., through a secure socket layer. Well, what is secure socket layer? It's nothing more than the public key encryption, which has been totally broken since 2007 when my book Calculate Primes came out. I have a subsequent book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. And then, of course, the third book that just came out recently is last February. I announced it and released it. It's called Principles of Prime Numbers, Volume 1. And then that's the first of a three-set volume, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, of pretty advanced mathematical concepts dealing with prime numbers. But the point is that these SSL certificates, you may as well put wet toilet paper on your web page. These SSL certificates do not offer anything, but Google has jumped all over this. And so if you don't have, it's like the old protection racket. If you don't have the company-approved protection, then you're subject to basically people, they're going to flag you, and they're going to have a big warning and say, don't go to this site, danger, danger, get me out of here quick. And they're not going to allow people. And this is the control of the internet. It's one of the first steps in controlling the internet. Because at a certain point, they're going to say, well, you know, we're going to start monitoring the internet for safety. This is already happening with something called COPPA, C-O-P-P-A. And it's a legislation that will protect kids under 14 years old from certain content on the internet. But isn't it interesting? They're going to allow, for example, drag queen children's reading hour. That'll be allowed. But real science will not be allowed. This is the beginning where they're trying to, it's always for the protection of the children. Oh, we're doing this to protect the children. And it's really being used to harbor pedophiles and distorted, basically, this very distorted way of living in the world banking community. And that's where it stems from. I saw an analysis the other night about the deep state. Everybody now, Bill Moyers, everybody's talking about the deep state. And they're talking about it as like some organization of people in Washington. They never, ever, ever talk about the fact that this stems from the World Bank ownership of the Federal Reserve, the bank, and then also the International Monetary Fund, which controls foreign countries, causes their financial ruin, then comes in, takes their resources. You got China out there copying that model now, going all over the world, giving big loans, and then coming in and scooping up the resources of these poor countries. A lot of them that have really huge physical resources, and that's the entire end game, is to go snarf them up. But this whole internet control is getting very nefarious. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So expect more and more layers of this as time goes on. But remember, it's for your protection. Remember the old movies back in the 30s? The two rough guys would come into a little mom-and-pop shop where they were selling, you know, pizza or dry goods or whatever, and say to the owner, say, well, you know, we're in the neighborhood, we're offering you protection. And the owner of the store goes, well, you know, I don't need protection. I've never had any problems here. You know, and they're going, well, you know, things are getting worse. We're going to take care of, you know, protect your store here. And this is how much you got to pay us. And the guy says, well, I can't pay you that much money. You know, I'm just a little business. And the guy says, well, okay. So the two front men would leave the store, and that night that store would get ransacked. Next day, the two guys would show up and say, you know, if you had our protection, this wouldn't have happened. So you better start paying us, or, you know. So they basically forced these, you know, small businesses all over to pay them protection. It's the old protection racket. Well, it's alive and well, all legal, all up front, and being hosted by none other than Google. These international corporations are working hand in hand, glove in hand, with the CIA and the NSA to spy on people, to control the internet, to control content on the internet. You know, this is one I talked about a week ago, where, you know, YouTube and these, you know, other social medias, Twitter and Wikipedia, very controlled. And I'm mentioning that because the guy who runs Wikipedia makes it sound like, oh, this is just a, you know, every average people doing editing. It's the people's encyclopedia. Well, that's garbage. That is so controlled by the CIA. But the reason I'm telling you this is because this joker, the guy from Wikipedia, comes up and he says, you know, those Facebook and these other social media are very controlling, and I'm going to start one that's not controlling. Well, he's part of the same protection racket, information protection racket. We should call it IPR. Internet Protection Racket. So SSL fits right in there. And then you got, you know, the alternative guy from Wikipedia coming in and just a swell guy just trying to help you out. And he's going to give you his version of the protection racket, all from the same people. But that's their method of operation, is that they create both sides of the dialogue. And that's standard procedure for disinformation. And the reason I'm talking to you about this is because first they get their foot in the door, and then they start ramping up the control, and that's coming very shortly. So they may have lost on certain fronts, and of course that's what the whole impeachment fervor is about, because they want to upset basically the popular election. They don't care about the majority of people in the United States. Mm-hmm. Whether you're for a president or not, the election process is something that we hold sacred. And it's being very much affected by a few people. That's what's going on. Anyway, on to another topic here. NASA claims that they're going to the moon in 2024, and they're going to send a woman and a man. And they're always conscious of saying woman first. In a world where they claim equality between the sexes, they always say, they don't say man and a woman, they say a woman and a man. Oddly enough, there's a TV show produced by Apple TV, so it's a very glossy, high-protection TV series. It's called For All Mankind, and it just reeks with Hollywood drama. And how they, and it goes back to the Apollo days, how they were going to send a woman to the moon because the Russians had beat us. They changed the little history by a little bit, that Russians put a man on the moon. So to counter this, the Americans were going to put a woman on the moon. But oddly enough, this week the NASA announced it's sending a vest. Yes, a vest on some dummies into space. And they're going to orbit this around the moon and bring it back. And they're going to study radiation. The only problem is they're not studying the real radiation that's caused by the... They're talking about solar flares and ambient radiation. They never mention the radiation from the Van Allen belts. They don't touch that with a 10-foot pole. And the real radiation hazard is X-rays. So they're not measuring those. They don't have a detector. And back in the old Apollo days, the astronaut radiation badge was for alpha and beta particles, which are basically low-energy radiation. But, you know, they're in, allegedly they had, 18 people go to the moon and come back, and not a problem. These people all lived to ripe old age. Some of them became alcoholics, never were interviewed. None of them were ever interviewed in a real interview that asked them real questions. You would think that they would be all over the place, but very, very controlled. Those people, you know, well, anyway, I'm not going to go into that whole topic tonight. But so they're sending these vests with some kind of a plastic, a polyethylene plastic in them, with dummies with sensors on them to see if this protects against radiation. But it only covers, it's like a vest, doesn't cover the arms, the head. You know, if you're going to get radiation damage, the brain, I would think you'd want covered. Maybe have a polyethylene helmet of some kind, you know, like a football helmet or something. And then the legs and the, basically the genitals are not covered at all. And so it's just a vest. And they think, well, this should take care of most of that radiation to the organs of the body. So you're going to have astronauts that might have their brain French fried, but not their, you know, their stomach or something. I don't know what these people are smoking over there. But this is to preface any trips by humans going out there. And the whole problem here, the whole problem is that this is not a test. This is not a test at all, because they're not testing for the real radiation source, which is X-rays, and the X-rays form when the high-energy particles hit metal in the spacecraft, of which there is a lot of metal in the spacecraft. High-energy particle hits that, creates an X-ray, and that's the problem. Now, this was well known when I worked with the Russian scientists in the mid-90s. This was well known. So now we have NASA, it's the year 2019, you know, decades, literally decades later, and they have no clue what radiation is all about. And why are they just doing this now? NASA has had a program called Living with a Star. That's the name of the program. I remember back in the 90s going to American Geophysical Union meetings, or in the 80s, and they had this program with every physicist and chemist in the country. Was part of this program, getting a chunk of change out of you, the taxpayers. And never did they, number one, recognize what radiation was from space. And number two, they certainly never found a cure. So anyway, all of that going on in the background, the another giant hoax coming and being paid for by the American public. That allegedly by 2024, and that's interesting they're picking that date, because that would be the last day of a second Trump presidency, and he has canceled all of their funding from that day forward. And so they're in a desperate mode. They have to come up with a rabbit in the hat by the year 2024. And every scientist who's worth his salt knows that NASA cannot go to the moon, even with all of the SpaceX help, whatever help they can get. They don't know how to deal with radiation. They don't know what causes it, and they don't know how to cure it, and they don't even know how to measure it. Just another quick comment on climate change. The the bat crazy climate change disinformation program rages on, as this past week, so-called climate change experts all got together in Spain for a worldwide conference so they could get their story straight and coordinate it. They're realizing that hyperventilating over climate change is not working, so they have to modify their message. And so the message that's coming out now is that look at all the bad weather caused by climate change in 2019. And they try and concentrate on one thing, like the picture. Remember the picture of the polar bear sliding off a little iceberg, talking about climate change, and everybody was like, that's, you know, there's no danger to the polar bear population at all. So what they're concentrating on is Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas, which was a totally, totally controlled storm, controlled by the laser satellites. And it just sat there for days. It sat for 4 days on top of the Bahamas, basically depopulating that island, that series of islands. And here's a good story. This past week, Tesla Autos, because of the big Thanksgiving weekend, lines of 1 hour, 2 hours, 40, 50 cars in a line going down the street, Tesla electric automobiles waiting to be charged. And they, that was mainly in California where the majority of Teslas have been sold. But on a weekend, you know, the average time to fill up an automobile with gasoline, you know, from the time the guy gets out of his car and goes, fills up the car and back, is probably 5 minutes. You know, a Tesla automobile, we're talking a lot of time. And so to fill up all these cars with electricity takes a lot of time and therefore a backlog. So if that's the worst thing that's happened in the world, probably not too bad. But the point is, as more and more electric cars are sold, look at all of the companies, Volkswagen, every major company is getting into electric vehicles. Electric pickup trucks are coming along. And so this is... there are new, brand new companies being formed to build electric vehicles. So as this surge of electric vehicles comes along, the ability to charge them is going to be questionable because, as I've said before on this show, all of the major, in fact, all, I wouldn't just say major, I'd say literally all of the electrical companies in the United States are going to be in bankruptcy court within the next 2 years. They're all going under financially for two reasons. Their investment in nuclear power, which all of these nuclear power plants are under-maintained. They're hitting the end of their physical lifetime. The companies have not been saving the money required to decommission them. And all of these bills, as the nuclear power plants get older, they require much more maintenance. And so they don't have the money for any of this. And number two, it's the large investment in so-called alternative energy, where they've invested in three-blade wind turbines. And that's why they like solar panels, by the way, is because they get a lot of government subsidies. When if you're foolish enough to get solar panels through a subsidized program, you're literally paying for those, and all your neighbors are paying for your solar panels through subsidy programs. But the end result is they really don't work. But these huge investments in three-blade wind turbines that don't produce anything, right now, for example, Xcel Energy is decommissioning entire fields of these three-blade wind turbines. And they're trying to dump the cost off on the local communities. But I can imagine that sooner or later, all of these are going to end up in court, causing more, electric companies are going to be in court because the counties are going to say, hey, you guys said these would last for 25 years. They've only lasted 8. And now you want us to pay to take them out. So we didn't get the benefit of the low electric rates that you promised. These things never produced anything, And so these counties are going to step up and say, hey, we're not footing the bill for your bad decision, for conning us into putting in this so-called green energy. So anyway, the bottom line is all of the electric companies are going to be in bankruptcy court. There's no other route for them. And when that happens, then the electric rates are going to go through the roof. But then back to the original point, what do we do with all these electric cars? Well, they have to be charged. And hopefully by the time this hits a crisis point, the wing generators, the big ones, the JMCC wing generators, will be rolling into the commercial markets. And what's interesting is the electric companies would block this at all costs. But if they're in bankruptcy court and they can't produce the electricity required to fill up the electric cars, it's going to be a, you know, king, knock the king over on the chessboard, checkmate. And 5 years ago, this would not have been possible. But right now, this, the economic and the literally the socioeconomic forces at work are much bigger than the power companies can manage. They didn't plan ahead. They, you know, this is a change that they're not going to be able to handle. And their only route will be to go to bankruptcy court. So anyway, just mentioning that in the big companies like General Electric, it's just comical to see them trying to position themselves. All of the minor companies dealing with wind energy are going to be forced out of business because the government subsidies that they lived on, their entire financial plan revolved around big government subsidies. If you can, if you take a minute, write your congressman and tell them to stop these government subsidies on alternative energy, because right now the alternative energy companies are all in Congress asking for more handouts. And they're not viable businesses. They don't produce. A friend of mine just came back from, I think it was out west. It was like around the Las Vegas area. And there's a big, big wind farm out in the country there between Vegas and California. As they went through one of the big fields of three-blade wind turbines, not a single one was turning. Not a single one. And that's because to get them turning, there's an electric motor in there, and it actually requires power, and somebody's got to pay for that power to make them turn, to get them started. So that's the point these are at. They can't even afford the electricity to run the motor to get the three blades turning. That's how bad it is. And so, yeah, and so they're not going to have money to take these monstrosities out of there. Yeah, it's there's no other way. I mean, the companies, the electric companies that have invested in these, talk about a pig with lipstick. They're loaded with pigs with lipsticks. Nuclear power that's fading, and don't let anybody try and tell you that nuclear power is green. Nuclear power is the most horrific polluting power source ever devised by man. They don't know what to do with the nuclear waste, and that's what my degree is in, nuclear physics, and my physics degree, and something I happen to know about. You will find, you might know some nuclear physicists, and they will praise the nuclear industry, but you know, you have to ask the question, do they get their bread buttered from that nuclear industry? And most people, who was it, Upton Sinclair said that it's hard to make a man see something when his paycheck depends on him not seeing it. I think that's who said that. And that's what's going on big time in the nuclear energy industry. There are so many people whose paycheck depends on it, and they're not going to step up to the line like I do and say it's a bad idea. Remember Einstein's comment that heating your coffee with nuclear energy is a bad idea. That was a quip from Albert Einstein. a very, very bad idea. He was the father of nuclear energy, and of course his income did not depend on nuclear, the profits of the totally, totally out of control international nuclear industry. It's a huge industry, from the fuel, the control of fuel, and of course nuclear being used for not only energy, but for nuclear bombs, for terrorism, for the international nuclear scene is just a disaster. Remember the Hillary Clinton selling off 20% of U.S. uranium deposits to Russia, being okayed by the Obama White House? Yeah, it's called Uranium One. And that was the company that Putin, talk about collusion with Putin, that's the company that was purchased, Canadian company that was purchased by Russia, so they could move the uranium from Oregon, from the American facilities, from also from Canada, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, off to the Russians. And that was the whole issue of the Iranian, nuclear treaty, was that the United States paid billions of dollars in cash flown over on airplanes from the United States under the watch of Obama to pay for the nuclear fuel that the Clintons approved and got big kickbacks into the Clinton Foundation to do this. Hundreds of millions of dollars. They became very wealthy on the kickbacks of this. And that uranium going through Uranium One to Russia, and then that uranium ending up in Iran, and then we pay for that uranium again from tax dollars, and just immense, absolutely immense corruption. And by the way, Ukraine is mixed into this mix also. And a lot of that hopefully will come out. That's why a lot of this impeachment stuff is going on too, is because most of the people involved are completely corrupt and implicit in the movement of that highly sensitive nuclear material, uranium. Anyway, that's a long story. Also, I just want to go back to the idea of Tesla automobiles standing in line over the holidays, waiting to be charged. And by the way, I have a note here also. This was reported on by Alex Jones. So this information is coming from a story that came out on Alex Jones' webpage. Somebody sent me that link. But I wanted to put my little twist on it. The so-called alternative energy world of solar and three-blade wind turbines can never close the gap. And so this is important. That's why we need a very powerful source of energy that can truly power our country and get rid of the dependency on nuclear, for sure, and then also wean off of coal and then use a bit of natural gas. We have immense natural gas resources, and so that will top off the last 3% of energy requirement of the country. But that's my goal. I'll just make it very clear here that we could do this within 10 years if we had a Manhattan-style project to get the large wing generators online. We could, by the time 2030 rolled around, we could be producing 97% of our energy, including this extra gap for electric transportation, not just cars, but motorcycles, airplanes, and, of course, trains. Many of them are already electric, but moving trains to electric, this could all be managed, and then 97% of our energy coming from the wind, with the other 3% coming from natural gas. And I'm not going to go into the design details on the air, but this is something I'm very familiar with. electronics. I've spent a good deal of my life working in the electronics industry, in commerce, in companies. So it's one of the things that I'm literally an expert in. But this is very doable. The numbers are there. It's just going to require proper support. And so just as a side note here, my wing generator, there's the email address on my webpage if people are interested in support at the $3 to $10 million or above mark in terms of U.S. dollars. I'm always looking for additional investors and those levels to come in. And there's some projects are underway, some projects need funding, and so anyway, those opportunities are available. Speaking of my webpage, it's we're past the so-called Black Friday, and I want to mention that over the past, let's say, since last May, we've been struggling to keep up with the small countertop water filters and everything. I have the below sink, the above sink, the gravity feeds, etc. But what I want to concentrate on now are the whole house filters. I think it's so important. And I've got the MR5s now priced down to literally down to around $1,500 plus a minor installation fee if you paid your local plumber, or you could put it in yourself if you're handy. But $1,500 for a whole house water filter, a real whole house water filter, not these with the little beads. No, none of that stuff. It's the same quality filtration as my regular countertop water filters. And these we have in stock where they're sitting there. So I would encourage people to think about getting an MR5 or an MR7. The MR7 is just a little bit bigger. It has 7 filter elements instead of 5. And these are big 20-inch long filter elements. So it's like my regular filter elements designed for high flow rate. And it's a little different design because of the high flow rate. But basically, here's the problem. When you shower in that hot water that has basically a chemical soup coming from the ground or coming from, say, the city water supply, then you're breathing all of that in. And the cancer rates in the United States are just going through the ceiling. Unbelievable. And so to get that chemical soup out of your water before it gets to the shower is extremely important. So anyway, I'm just going to quick go through the list of things that I have on my webpage now for sale, and go there and take a look. So I have the water filters. Of course, I have my books, CDs, DVDs, the recalendar, Sunstar clock, the posters. Then, of course, all the water filters. And then Numana foods, freeze-dried storage food. And we're recommending that you have at least 6 months worth of food stored up in your house. And then, of course, the wing generator, we're marketing the 2 to 50 kilowatt models of the wing generator, and then shipping containers. I introduced this last week. And so if you're interested, some people might go, well, what do I need a shipping container for? Well, the issue is that some people might need a work shed, or you're thinking about building an outbuilding. When I sell the wing generators, a lot of times the people, rather than have them build some kind of building, it's cheaper to buy a shipping container. It's solid steel. They're sturdy, hurricane rated, and very tight. You can close them. They lock. They're very solid. And you just buy them. You put them there, and they're ready to go. So the standard shipping containers, 20-foot, 40-foot, the 40-foot tall, they're 20-foot tall also. And also, here's the interesting thing, is that you can design your own building. Complicated, put all these shipping containers together and build a complex building, and we can custom order these. So you make a design, We send in the order, the factory designs it, and then it's just shipped right to your location. And with a forklift or other type of equipment, crane or whatever, you can put these together. And so, and typically in your area, there's a heavy lift crane that can be rented for one day, and you just put this building together, and it's there. Boom, it's done. So anyway, that's on my webpage. Send in information. We'll send you a brochure to get you started on selecting these and then put in an order. So then this came out of my wing generator business because I needed shipping containers to ship them and then also to provide customers with storage buildings for the electronics for the wings. So that's where that came from. And now hopefully that'll be a very good, viable product for the people coming up in the future. So I have the Numana food, that's new. The wing generator, of course, is ramping up. The water filters with the MR5 and MR7, those are new, low-priced, very high quality. And then the containers, all in my webpage, jmccsci.com. And I just want to end with a little discussion. And this is not to be negative, but I think it's important for people to understand where things are going. When this impeachment thing fails, and it's it's more than likely going to fail, then the people behind this, not the visible faces you see, but the people that are really behind it, are going to start causing civil unrest. And that's where things might get a bit ugly in the future because they're losing control. They can't stand it. They're, that's literally what's going on is they are losing control back to the American people. And they can't stand it because these people have had free reign in Washington for decades, just doing whatever they wanted to do. And now it's not so easy anymore. They're being called on it. The Bidens of the world. And they're corrupt kids, and this is common, by the way. It's not just Biden. It's thousands of people in Washington are totally corrupt, and they're just working the system, sending your money overseas and then going and taking a piece of it. That's what's going on. So anyway, all I'm saying is that we might be heading into some difficult times in the future. The wing generator to be energy independent, and boy, are we heading into some difficult times as far as energy, and then the containers. So anyway, I'm trying to help you out there. And just a quick note, that every Wednesday morning, first hour, I'm a guest at John Moore's show, The Liberty Man. And on Wednesday, December 11th, I will be on two other shows, Pastor Butch Powell, he's on WWCR also. And I'll be a guest on his show. It's a two-hour interview. It's 1 hour. And then, of course, the Power Hour with Daniel Brigman. I will be on that show on December 11th. And then on December 15th, I'll be a guest with James Fetzer on his radio show, on his TV show, actually. And so some upcoming interviews that I will have. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.